Next, in our services, especially on our Wednesday nights, we're going to spend time getting back to the basics. What are we doing as a Christian anyway, you know? What's our purpose? What are we doing as a church? What should our priorities be when it comes to living for God? What should we be focusing on as a church? That's what we're going to look at this month. And we'll have a little overview here tonight, and then we're going to take these four Wednesdays, and we're going to break down our church's mission and purpose. Our mission and purpose. And some of you have heard some of this before, but some of you haven't. First of all, we want to be people who love God with all our heart. With all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. That's number one, love God. Love God. Secondly, we want to be people who are ever growing closer to Jesus Christ. No matter what level we're on, no matter how long we've been in the church, we still need to be growing in faith. We still need to be becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And third, we are called to be servants in the kingdom of God. That's the example that Jesus gave us. He came to serve others. And then fourth, we want to go and change the world for Jesus Christ. So number one, we want to love God. Number two, grow in faith. Number three, serve others. And number four, go change the world. Love God, grow in faith, serve others, go change the world. Okay, is there a shorter way to say that? Love, grow, serve, go. That's our mission statement. That's our purpose statement. And here you are, old pastor, not this again. Here we go. We've heard this before. We've heard this before, but we need to get it. We need to get it. We need to be reminded of it. Amen. And in the month of January, we're going to get back to the basics. So love God, grow in faith, serve others, go change the world. Tonight, our emphasis is on love. And I want to read a few scriptures from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to read from the King James Version, but I'm going to substitute one word here. The King James uses the word charity, and I'm just going to use love. That's what that is. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1 through 13. And you stand, and we're going to look at some of this here. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I want to stop just right there just a moment. What does that mean? There's some that have said, oh, that must mean that spiritual gifts must end whenever the apostles die. Prophecy, tongues, knowledge, those are gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit. This is not talking about the initial sign of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. But these are spiritual gifts that are given by God to deal with specific situations, okay? Every situation doesn't call for a gift of the Spirit, all right? There are some situations you don't have to have a gift of the Spirit. You can know things by human wisdom and understanding, and, you know, there's some things that you don't have to have a gift of the Spirit. But we can be certain of this. In every situation, love is in order. You see what I'm saying there? So sometimes you're not looking for a gift of the Spirit. You just need love. You need some love to help you. Verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. What makes it possible, all of this, what makes all of this possible, it is God's love for us. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It tells us, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The love of God, the love that God has for us, it is immeasurable. It is unfathomable. It is inescapable. We can't go too far to outrun or outlast the love of God. And when people fail God, when people make mistakes and they fall, one of their biggest fears is that somehow they've done too much to still have the love of God in their life. But I'm thankful that Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. He said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on, is anybody thankful that God loves us like that? Is anybody thankful that God keeps sending his love? He keeps reaching for us in love. He keeps ministering to us in love. Don't resist the love of God. Don't let the enemy try to separate you from the love of God. Open your heart and let God love you like he wants to. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He gave us his very life to show his love for us. Thank God for his love. I don't know where I'd be without the love of God. How about you? Everything about us being a Christian and everything about the purpose of this church is dependent on the love of God. Without the love of God, we're nothing. We're nothing. Without God's love, this church has no reason to exist. It really doesn't. God loves us so much, and not only us, but every single soul in Southwest Missouri and beyond, God loves them. God's reaching for them. God cares for them. Don't you know that the love of God causes him to look far and wide to find people that need him, to find somebody that maybe they've never experienced love before, but God says, I want to show them my love. How is that going to happen? He's got to work through us. He's got to work through us. His spirit wants to flow through us. He wants to touch people's lives through us. How tragic that so many have never experienced the love of God before. They've only known a cheap imitation of love that this world gives. It's empty, it's shallow, it's fake. But the love of God is pure. The love of God is pure. It's true. It's unending. It's greater than anything else in this world. Thank God for his love. Thank God for his love. Come on, can you just worship God and praise him right now? Lord, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for loving me, Lord. Hallelujah. And love begats love. His love calls for us to love in return. 1 John 4 and 19, we love him because he first loved us. His love calls for us to love him in return. In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, "And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself." When we think of the great love that God has for us, we can't help but love him. How can we help but love him? When we're spending time in prayer or in worship and we're wrapped in the love of Almighty God, we can't help but feel a deep love for him in return. But I want to tell you tonight, love is more than just a feeling. Love is more than just a feeling. What are we going to do with this love that we have? John 14, 21 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He is calling us to love him. But more than that, he says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. A lot of times people, they just want to experience the love of God. They just want to feel the love of God. They just want to worship and praise and feel that touch of God's presence. But they don't want to know anything about commandments. Oh, God's not calling us just to soak in his love. He's calling us for a return as well. And he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do what pleases me. You'll do what I want you to do. You'll read in my word what my will is for your life. God is calling us to live a higher way. He is calling us to a place of commitment. Amen. So many churches and so many preachers, they don't want to preach about commitment because it makes people uncomfortable. And maybe somebody will stop going to their church. And maybe somebody will stop giving their money and all of that kind of stuff. But that's what God is calling us to do. Why do we do our best to follow after holiness and Christian living? Some people have it all wrong. They think, well, oh, there's all these things that I have to do, or that I can't do, and I can't go here, or I can't go that, and I can't do this, or because of my religion, or because of my church, or because of my pastor. When we fall in love, we want to do whatever pleases the object of our affection. It's not a burden. We do it out of love. When saints of God put rules and regulations ahead of their love for God, then they're serving God out of legalism instead of relationship. And that always dries up the moving of the Spirit. But when we love God, when we truly love him and desire to please him, when we want to have his favor upon our life, then we want to do the things that he likes. And we want to find a way to please him. It's not a burden. It's not a privilege. It's an honor to live for God. Come on, somebody. We get the honor to live for Jesus Christ. We get the privilege to say, you know what? I'm not living for the world. I'm not doing what I want to do. I'm doing what God's word commands me to do. And it's a privilege. Oh, I want to thank the Lord for this privilege. I want to thank the Lord for this honor. Thank you, God, for letting me live for you.
Hallelujah.
When new people come to the experience, we're not going to hit them over the head with a book of rules so thick and heavy that it knocks them out. Oh, welcome to our church. Bam. Got to make sure that you line up just right with my 3,032 rules or whatever it is. There's a process. Love comes first. Love comes first. Then we grow. But it all has to begin with love. And I've seen it. How many new babies in Jesus Christ have been aborted because people who never really got a love for God themselves in their own heart decided they need to school somebody and took it upon themselves and all this stuff that these new people were doing that was wrong, you know. And I want to tell you, we believe in holiness. We believe in separation from the world. But it's got to begin with God's love for us. Hallelujah. And us falling in love with him. And out of that relationship grows faithfulness and holiness and righteous living. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. When we love God, his commandments aren't grievous. They're not burdensome. It's not a burden. It's a joy. It's a joy to live for God. Amen. When it starts out with love. I want to tell you, there's sometimes I might even be by myself, but I'm just like, thank you, God. What a life you've given me. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessings. Thank you for the pure love that I've experienced, that so many in this world, they wish they knew. They don't even believe it exists. But Lord, here we are, and I get to love you, and you love me, and I get to walk in your favor, and I get to have your goodness and your blessings upon my life and upon my family. And oh, I may not have everything I want, but I got everything I need. I've got the love of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And we ought to act like we've got it too. We don't need to go around all sour-faced and all grumpy and complaining about everything and trying to spread poison out in the streets and in the marketplace. Come on, you need to have a smile on your face. If you don't, you need to get to a prayer room and say, Lord, I need the joy of the Lord. I need the joy of the Lord to be my strength, because I don't want to be. Come on, somebody. This is a good life God's given us. This is a blessed life he's given us. Amen, amen. And it starts with love. Love is the principal characteristic of a Christian. Paul specifically said that in our text. He said, you know what? If I speak with tongues but I don't have love, it's all empty noise. I can remember a certain individual that I pastored some certain place at some certain time. He's not here no more. He was hard to deal with. In fact, he was a very angry person, and But I can remember him telling me one time how he'd been praying and trying to act spiritual, and the fruit wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? The fruit wasn't there. And he was talking about how he'd been praying and the Lord had given him a new tongue. But he still had a hateful spirit. There was no love in his life. Yes, I believe full-heartedly in speaking in tongues. I have been praying before and I felt like the Lord gave me a new tongue and something was different. And there was a different type of prayer that happened, but I believe we need to speak in tongues every day, okay? Don't get me wrong. Some people think, well, you know, we just speak in tongues once a year when it's a real red-hot service. No, I believe in speaking in tongues, but we better have a heart of love or else something doesn't add up. And we shouldn't profess how spiritual we are based on speaking in tongues only. Yes, the old-time religion makes us love everybody. Is that still true? Amen. It makes me love everybody. Love is the principal characteristic of a Christian. Without it, we can't call ourselves one. Jesus said to his disciples, he told them in John chapter 13, in verse 34 and 35, he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. There's a problem if we can't love one another. Oh, we're going to go to heaven together, but we can't get along here. We're known by our fruits. If there's no fruit of love coming from our life, then we're missing the sign that identifies us as a follower of Jesus Christ. Love is truly the greatest thing in this world. And according to Paul, it goes beyond tongues and beyond prophecy and beyond faith and beyond generosity. He even said those who give their life for this, they better have love or else it's nothing. Hallelujah. Oh, let's look a little bit about this love. Paul told us in our text, he said, love is patient. God's love is patient. Is anybody thankful for that? Amen. Psalm 86 and 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. God doesn't throw us away when we make a mistake. He still keeps reaching for us. He still keeps loving us. He's full of compassion. He's gracious and patient with us. And sometimes it's real easy for us to get a little impatient with people. Well, they know better. In those moments, God help us remember the patience he's got with us. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When we're full of God's love, it's so much easier to be patient. Oh, we need a fresh touch of the love of God. Praise the Lord. Love is kind. You know, Jesus was kind. He was kind. He was kind to those in desperate need. And oh, but they don't deserve it. Those that deserve it the least, they're probably the ones that need it the most. Thank God he doesn't just give us what we deserve. How many of us deserve all that he's done for us? Is there any of us that deserved him to die for our sins, to pay the price for us? No, I tell you, we don't get what we deserve. Oh, when we're kind to others, it may open us up to being hurt sometimes, but it exemplifies the love of Jesus Christ. It was Charles Schwab, the wealthy businessman, who once spoke about the vulnerability of love. He said this, he said, 9/10 of my troubles can be traced to being kind to others. Most of his trouble came when he was trying to be kind. He said, if you want to steer away from trouble, be hard-boiled. Be quick with a loud no to anyone and everyone. If you follow this rule, you'll seldom be bothered, except that you'll also have no friends. You'll be lonely, and you won't have any fun. He makes a good point. Love may make us vulnerable to hurt, but it's worth it. God help us to be kind to others. Love isn't jealous. Envy has destroyed kings and sinners and saints alike. Jealousy is such a powerful emotion. We see what others have and we want it for ourselves. We envy somebody for having something that we don't have. But real love focuses more on giving than it does on getting. Real love focuses more on blessing others than taking from them. Sometimes people can be a whole lot like crabs. Has anybody ever been crabbing before? We need to take a trip, folks. We're going to go to Louisiana, and we're going to go crabbing. Okay, we're going to go in Louisiana because I don't think you used to not have to have a fishing license, but over on Texas side, you did have to have a fishing license. So we'd cross the border and go crabbing over in Louisiana. I don't have time to tell you about all the stories. We've had a lot of fun crabbing. One time, Daniel, the first time I went crabbing, they gave me a chicken leg, tied it on a string, said, here, hold this. And I pull it up, there's a crab on it, and we scooped it up, and there we go. So Daniel, one time, I've told this story before, I don't know whether it was a chicken leg or something, he pulled his up, there was an alligator on it. So, and then another time we were there, and somehow we'd lost the net, and I was reaching way out off that dock, and the dock broke and dropped down about 6 inches, and I rolled off into the water, And all I'm thinking is there's alligators in this water. So anyway, we could have a lot of fun crabbing. But here's the thing. You catch a lot of crabs and you put them in a bucket. You don't have to put a top on the bucket. Because if one of those crabs starts to climb up the side, the others will just reach up and pull it right back down. Let's not be like that with people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Love is not jealous. We should be encouraging to others. We should be cheering them on, celebrating with them. Don't rejoice when they're down. Let's let the love of God shine through us. Love doesn't brag. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Love doesn't brag. We're not saved by our own ability. Jesus Christ, that's the only way we're saved, through his death on Calvary. And true love, it focuses on others. It's not self-centered. It doesn't seek to exalt itself. Come on, if the love of God fills our heart, we're going to want to boast about Jesus, not about ourselves. We do well to remember 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Love isn't arrogant. Love is not arrogant. How many times does the Bible warn against having a proud spirit? Arrogance and pride, they're not from God. Pride is the sin that brought Satan down, and it'll do the same with us. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Humility is one of the greatest virtues. It's pretty rare in this world, but God, fill us with your love and help us to show humility. Love doesn't act inappropriately. We should be temperate. We should be in moderation. We are to be sober. We're not to be given to excess. We should act appropriately. Sadly, today, there's a generation of children that have been allowed to misbehave and to talk disrespectfully to parents, to get away just with about anything. Lack of proper guidance and correction has led them to believe there are no consequences for their actions. And now that generation is growing up, and you see them on many college campuses, and you see them working at certain places, and there's problems all over our society. And this has led to an epidemic of crime in our nation. But here's the thing. God's love does not act inappropriately. It leads us to be disciplined. What this world needs is not a new government program. It needs the love of God. It needs the love of God. Hallelujah. Love doesn't seek its own. The love of Christ is not selfish, but it causes us to think of others and to put their needs even before our own. This is the true joy in doing good and giving to the needs of others. And it's the spirit that Jesus had. It's a spirit of selflessness. Selflessness. It's what he demonstrated here on the earth. And when we have his love in our heart, we'll demonstrate the same thing, a love for others. It's easy to love those who love us. But what about our enemies? What about our enemies? Jesus said in Matthew 5:43, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." That's taking it too far, God. Are you serious? Love is dangerous. Love is dangerous. It opens us up to being hurt sometimes. It opens us up to being mistreated, to being taken advantage of. But it makes us like Jesus. Our enemies may not love us in return, but Jesus told us in Luke chapter 6, verse 31, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, What thank have ye? For sinners also love them that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. If we just do good to those that are doing good to us, what credit do we get? That's not a sacrifice. If we just love them that love us, what benefit is that? The world does that. Sinners do that, but we're to be like Jesus Christ. And he was kind both to the good and to the evil. He loved both the sinner and the disciple. Yes, love is dangerous. It opens us up to the opportunity to be hurt, but it also opens our heart to let the love of Jesus Christ flow through us. I want to challenge you. Be a conduit. Open your heart that the love of Jesus Christ can flow through you in a mighty way this year. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? How can we know this love and how can we show this love? I want to tell you, it's impossible to do without a relationship with God. When we have a true relationship with the Lord, people can tell that we've been with Jesus. Even we might meet a stranger, but they can tell something's different about us. They might not know exactly what it is, but what they feel is the love of Jesus Christ flowing through our life. That should be the goal. Lord, let people know. Let people feel your love through me. But it only happens if we have a relationship with him. Our purpose here at The Experience is to first love God, which includes showing his love to others. And everything we do should be based on that love. Why do we have church services? Why do we invite people to come to church? Why do we have worship services where we sing songs about the love of God? Why do we preach about the hope that we have in Jesus? Because we're trying to introduce people to the love of God. And when they truly feel that love that is like no other, it may be the first time they've ever felt true love. When that happens, people will respond in different ways. That's why sometimes people come to church and they don't act the way that we think they should act. It's been exciting to see all these new young people coming, and visitors and guests. I got a story Colt shared with me. We may share that in 5 or 10 years, depending on situations, but it was funny how they don't know anything about this. All they can tell is it's different than anything they've ever experienced. This is not like any church they've been to. Some will worship. Some will weep. Some will dance. Some will kneel in God's presence. Some will just stand there because they've never experienced this. But that's the start of living for Jesus. It has to start with love, or we're missing it all. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. If you're seeking the greatest spiritual gift, the one that will have the most impact, not only on us, but on all those around us, before you look after the gift of tongues or the interpretation of tongues or prophecy or the word of knowledge, we need to seek the gift of love. Hallelujah. There's an old song, and we don't have to sing this. I don't want to mess them up. I'll just tell you the lyrics. It says, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. The more we experience the love of God, the closer we want to be to him. And the closer we get to his presence, the more we love him. And the more our love for him grows, the more we want to be with him. And it just continues on and on and on. Come on tonight. If you found that the love of God has grown cold in your life, it's not God. The problem is not with the Lord. It's not with his love. We're the problem. Somewhere we've drifted. Somewhere we've gone astray. We need to come back to prayer and to fasting and to his word. We need to get back to seeking him. Lord, I need you. I need your love. I need your help. I need your spirit to work and to move in me. Oh, come on. Would you give the love of God a chance tonight? Would you give the love of God a chance? I wonder in closing right now if we could gather around this altar and say, Lord, I thank you for your love for me, and I want to love you, and I want to love others. Help me, Lord. Let your love shine through me, God. I need to experience your love. Just in a fresh way this year, Lord. Let it be new. Let there be a renewal of your love in my life, Lord. I've got to get back to that relationship with you. I've got to get back to knowing you in your love. I pray that you move upon me, Lord. I've been too selfish lately. I've got to have your love to flow through me. Come on, somebody. Would you reach out and let God's love minister to you? Would you give the love of God a chance? Hallelujah.